Okay, good evening, everybody. Trust that we'll have a good night of discussion tonight, so feel free to be involved. Right, well, let's have a look at tonight. Speaking in tongues. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to help us here. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you glorify Jesus in our lives and you bring more of the revelation of Jesus to our hearts and understanding. And we just ask you tonight, Holy Spirit, that through each one of us here, we will discover more of a revelation of what this wonderful gift of speaking in tongues, tongues and interpretation, what tongues is about, why you've given us this ability to speak in heavenly and foreign languages. So Lord, we just say, lead us and guide us into all truth tonight, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, so many of the basic New Testament principles we don't know much about. I mean, this area of tongues, sure, it's controversial, and the Bible, you know, warns us that, because to the natural man it says it's foolishness. They think we're nutcases. You know, we need to go down to a shrink and get our heads red. It's better to have a blue one anyway. So speaking in tongues, why did Jesus tell the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high? And so, you know, when that day of Pentecost came, they began speaking in a language they'd never learned. So, you know, it was a God thing. It wasn't man's idea. And so on. So, you know, speaking in tongues, how important is it? How often do we do it? Do we do it? I mean, speak in these languages. Can we speak in these languages? And so on. If we don't, then I just want to give you a personal challenge. Make it your number one priority. Because there is something about speaking in tongues that enables us to express ourselves to God in a way you cannot do in your mother tongue. Mm. There is something, and the scripture talks about, in the spirit we speak mysteries. Now, what's a mystery in scripture? The word mysteries is translated with the same meaning all the way through, which simply means that which is known only to the initiated. Who are the initiated? You see, we come into the kingdom of God. There's only one way in. You've got to be born again. So in a sense, you know, what we hear about with all the counterfeits in the world today, where they have initiation ceremonies, it's a counterfeit that we are initiated into the kingdom of God by being born again. And then that born again experience, we should be, in biblical terminology, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, where the Holy Spirit comes and so fills our life that out of our innermost being there flows a river of living water. According to John 7:37-39, which Jesus was speaking of the Spirit. So that when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, there is a river that is tapped or untapped. There is something that out of our innermost being starts to flow, and it comes up through our vocal cords and out through our mouth in a spiritual language, whereby when we speak that, as it says in Jude 20, we build up ourselves in faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So speaking in the Holy Spirit language, one, gives us a communication from our spirit to God the Spirit in such a way that no one else needs to know anything about it, except when we do that, the scripture says we build ourselves up. Mm. Now, we're living in a day when Christians have to build themselves up. Mm. The battles against us, the negativities against, you know, full gospel Christianity, the battle is raging today. And so we need to be filled with that Holy Spirit, our promise, so that we are equipped with everything that God's given to us so that we can walk in a place of communication with God that edifies us, that builds our faith, that gives us power and strengthens us to be able to fight the battles of the Lord. And so, you know, this language is important. And we need to be speaking in tongues. Paul, the apostle, said, you know, he thanked his God that he spoke in tongues more than us all. So he discovered something about speaking in tongues which he states was a key to his ministry. If it wasn't, he wouldn't speak in tongues more than us all. If it wasn't important, that wouldn't even be in the Bible. So, tongues. It's interesting, a lot of Christians don't know, but tongues was first spoken about in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 28:11-12, we're told that we'll just have a quick look there. Isaiah 28:11, and with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. Notice, speaking in tongues brings a rest. What does that speak about? That speaks absence of anxiety, absence of fear, rest, contentment, peace, comfort, all of that. To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Isn't it interesting? Isaiah foresaw a day when people would be speaking, he called it stammering lips. So you might ask, well, how do we know this is referring to tongues? Because Paul picks it up in 1 Corinthians 14:21, and he quotes the scripture and uses it in the subject of speaking in tongues and so on. And so we see that there is a resistance. Why? Because in many respects, to speak in tongues, we have to break through the natural, logical thinking process that we have. You see, it is not a natural thing. It's not even logical, because the natural mind, the natural person, cannot understand the things that be of the Spirit of God. And so if we are going to build ourselves spiritually, we need to use the tools that God has given to us so that we can build ourselves up in our most holy faith, so that we can be strong to fulfill the will and the word of the Lord. And so, you know, for me, you know, my testament happened for me in the middle of a herd of cows. And that's no bull. That's real. And it just happened. It just poured out of me as though I'd been doing it all my life, but I hadn't. That was the first time. And I've been prayed for many a times to be filled with the Spirit. But every time people prayed for me, I'd get the fear of man on me. You know, you've heard my testimony. Then when a woman prayed for me, I got the fear of woman, and that was worse. And so God had mercy on me, and he baptized me with the Holy Spirit in the middle of a herd of cows at 5:30 in the morning. So I'll most likely send out some of the teachings in it. I've got three articles, two of mine and one by a friend of mine, Len Butner, about speaking in tongues, so that you can look into the scriptures and so on. But I did a little article called 10 Scriptural Reasons to Speak in Tongues. So God speaks to us through tongues. Okay? For with stammering lips and another tongue will he, that's God, speak to his people. So when we are speaking in tongues, somehow that allows God to speak to us spirit to spirit. That's interesting. You see, God wants to speak to us through tongues. Secondly, we speak to God. 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to man, but to God. So when we speak in tongues, we speak to God. Number three, in the Spirit we speak mysteries, secrets between friends, what is known only to the initiated. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks unto God. It's God language. Number four, we edify or we build up ourselves. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Number five, tongues and interpretation of tongues are gifts of the Holy Spirit. This will be a good discussion shortly, because, you know, the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues is a different gift to our ability, our personal tongues to God. We're talking about two different lots here. And also in this book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power, Dave Robeson puts out four major areas of what tongues is about, and I'll just share that briefly soon, which I can agree with that. Okay, so we speak out tongues and interpretation. Number six, tongues is our spirit praying. Tongues is effective in pray, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. 1 Corinthians 14:14. Tongues are for, number seven, tongues are for speaking, praying, and singing to God. And we see there that, you know, we're told that what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, I'll pray with the understanding also, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. You know, Christians are true schizophrenics. We can be in the Spirit, and we can be in the understanding. You know, aren't we blessed? Number eight, tongues are to bless. We can bless through tongues, to bless God and give thanks to God. When we are speaking in the spirit language, we are blessing God. We are thanking God. Okay? Number nine, tongues are a sign to unbelievers. Because when they hear it, they think we're nutcases. Okay? And number ten, tongues are for all to benefit spiritually. Paul said, I would that you all speak with tongues. I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Wherefore, brethren, do not forbid to speak with tongues. That's throughout 1 Corinthians 14. Okay, any comments, questions, something you want to feed into this?
I've got something.
Yes?
I realized the other day that when you're talking in tongues, you can actually physically think of things while you're speaking in tongues. Because I was thinking to myself, I don't know if I've really got tongues or I'm making it up or whatever. And I was doing this for about 5 minutes as I was doing my housework. And I was thinking, I must get this out the fridge and I must do that as I was speaking in tongues. And so I tried it by singing a normal ABC song, and you cannot think and talk at the same time, but doing tongues you can. Oh, that was interesting.
Because it's spirit, you see, and it bypasses the intellect. Mm. I learnt this when, and I've shared this, but Jean's dad had a major stroke. He was a pastor, and it left him speechless for the last 3 years of his life. He could not speak in English.
He could talk a little bit, but
it wasn't, yeah, it was.
No,
yeah, it was just sort of single words. He couldn't carry on a conversation.
He could sing an old, like a Sunday school song, like Jesus Loves Me or Jesus the Shine or something like that. He could do that, but to communicate, he couldn't.
But I discovered that, you know, if I was speaking in tongues in his presence, and it happened by accident, because I just come bounding into a room one day, speaking in tongues, and he's sitting there in his wheelchair, and next thing, his eyes and his face lit up, and a big smile come on his face, and he started speaking in tongues back to me. And so I thought, wow, this is interesting. And he couldn't converse a conversation in English, yet he could freely speak in tongues. And so after that, you know, we used to have a lot of fun. I'd just say, hold on, okay, cut him in, and he'd go, we'd come up with the under, and we'd be all happy as can be, you know.
The interpretation.
What's that?
You should have asked for the interpretation.
At that time? No, I'm sorry, I didn't. But the experience for him was such that I don't know whether he was getting it, but he used to just be.
He was edifying himself.
Yeah.
Like edification.
Yeah. Yeah. I think again, this is an area where we're a bit slow. We need to be seeking for the interpretations a whole lot more. someone else's.
So when you pray, with praying in tongues, I feel sometimes that you know who you're praying for, but is that scripturally?
Well, let's just share quickly out of this book what Dave Robeson says. There are four basic diversities of tongues. One, tongues for personal edification, which we're talking about right now. Two, there are tongues for interpretation of tongues messages, which we'll touch on shortly. Three, there are tongues of deep intercessional groanings, where you get a burden for somebody, for something, and you start to really pray in deep tongues. It's a different tongue to the other two, and so on. And then the number four, the tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. And you remember on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, they all began to speak in tongues, but the people there could understand them in their different languages, which was, and they could interpret it as being, these people are speaking the wonderful works of God. And so, there was a positive sign to unbelievers that, wow, this has to be God. And then there are others without ordinary in tongues and that they just think that we're nuts. Okay? But, I mean, that's par for the course anyway, isn't it? Who's been the flavour of the month every month of their lives? It just doesn't work like that, does it? And so on. And I can go along with that which he says in this book, you see. So we've got four major areas. Len, who's done has written this thing here, he's got nine benefits of praying in tongues, which is different to, well, some of it crosses over with what I've said, but, you know, there are benefits, there are positives about us having the spirit language that we can pray. And I don't know about you, but I know that when I speak in tongues, I get an excitement in my spirit. It just builds me up. I think people that are subject to depression need to speak in tongues. You know, this is a major problem in a lot of Christian circles today, where people are just depressed and defeated. But we should be using these gifts that God's given to us so that we're building ourselves. Amen? Amen. It's not God's will that we go through life as depressants, is it?
No.
You know, but you, all of us most likely know people who battle with that. Something terrible in some cases. Any other comments?
Yes, Rodney. I got that book by Dave Robeson. I've read it, and I've been greatly blessed by it. And I urge all of you, if you haven't got a copy, get a copy and read it. And try and put into practice what he says. And my life has been blessed abundantly.
Okay, and the cost is? It's free. If you haven't got this book and you would like it, there's a form here. Fill your name and address in and I'll send for it for you. I understand it takes 3 or 4 weeks to turn up, but New Zealand is the first country in the world where they have made a decision this year to provide it free.
You can download.
I'm going to find out what the web page. It's not in the book, the web page. But we'll find the web page. I'm going to make up a little email so people that want to read it on the internet can do that as well. But, you know, it's good to have a copy, even if it's for giving or lending to other people.
Yes. Can you buy it as well?
What's that?
Can you actually purchase it?
No. Like no. But I'll take your money if you want to give it away.
You can buy it at the bookshop.
You can buy it at the bookshop.
Yes.
Well, you shouldn't be able to now with it being free because
really?
We used to sell it and we can't sell it now.
Okay. The bookshop's going down. Well, I've seen that in the bookshop, but maybe that was ages ago.
But anyway, I was going to mention that tonight. If you don't have a copy and you want a copy, there's a form here. Fill in your name and address and we'll send for it.
Well, pass it in while you're talking.
Well,
now
I've got another type of tongue.
for spiritual warfare, because I've been praying away in tongues on occasions, and all of a sudden my tongue has changed, and I've gone into a real battle type tongue. So that one wasn't...
No, it may come under the intercessional groanings one, it could come in, but the thing is that I think that we're just scratching the surface of this, that there's a whole lot more revelation coming about this, and so I don't have a problem with that at all. I think there is a place of, you're coming against the enemy, you're in a warfare mode, and you're doing battle, and hey, he hates it.
And another thing, I was praying away in tongues at home, and then all of a sudden I just stopped, you know, I just felt like it was finished, and I sat down at my table, and the next thing, I thought, I got all these thoughts, and I started writing out prophecy.
A prophecy or an interpretation?
Well, it could have been an interpretation, but it came as a prophecy.
Yeah.
An interpretation of tongues equivalent to a prophecy.
In value, but what we have been trying to do in recent years is to help Christians to differentiate between what happens when you hear a tongues message in a public meeting. And the interpretation comes, 9 times out of 10, that interpretation is a prophecy. Mm. People are just prophesying. You see, whereas in the scripture, the speaking in tongues is actually an interpretation is actually the opposite direction. Like prophecy is you're speaking on behalf of God to the people. Tongues and interpretation seems to be when the Holy Spirit anointing gives us a tongues message, which I think is different to the tongues that we just speak for our personal edification. There's something different about in a public gathering, and in a public gathering it should be interpreted. Now all of the scriptural terminology, not all of it, a lot of it, because we're discovering now there is room for both, okay? But the scriptures talk that he that speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men. He's speaking to God. So if in the spirit we're speaking to God, surely the interpretation should be Godward.
So it'd be like a prayer or...
On the day of Pentecost, their tongues were magnifying and the wonderful works of God. It was to Godward. Yet the amazing thing is, Peter and Joel called it prophecy. Joel's prophecy being fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, Joel prophesied that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Once. When Peter speaks, this is that, in Acts 2, that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, he said, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. He says something else and he repeats, and they, you shall prophesy. And so there is an interconnection with all the gifts, okay? But what my experience has been is that when people are speaking a tongues message in a public gathering and that interpretation comes by the Spirit as an adoration or an exaltation, a lifting up of the name of the Lord, I tell you, it is very powerful. It releases something in the Spirit amongst the people, and other people start to prophesy and so on. And, you know, part of our ministry is not always to people. Some of our ministry is simply to God. And God has given us this spirit language of tongues and interpretation of tongues so that we are able to adore the Lord in a public gathering, and the Spirit is there to inspire people to bring the interpretation. You can take this or leave it, but you know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Tongues and interpretation of tongues lifts up the Lord. And it releases something in the spirit realm. And we just be open. We get some tongues and interpretation before we go home tonight. I ask the Holy Spirit to give you a tongues message and let's interpret this. We don't want to just talk about these things. Let's do it. Okay? So, basically, that's the difference, and yet there can be a crossover. We shouldn't despise prophesying, so people prophesy. That's fine. But let's also incorporate and include this scriptural understanding that when we are speaking in tongues, we are magnifying God. So if we're speaking in a language that's magnifying God, the interpretation should not necessarily be God giving us building the people. Prophecy does that. But we also, in the Spirit, can bless God. We can sing with the Spirit. We can sing with the understanding. You know, we can pray with the Spirit, but in the public gatherings, they should always be interpreted so that everybody there can catch a hold of what that person is doing, catch the spirit of what is happening, you know, because that's what an interpretation is. It's a translation of what has been spoken in an unknown language. Any comments? Any answers?
Just
down the back of it.
I just wanted to ask, this is another dimension, you know, we're talking about how we're just scratching the surface of tongues. I went to bed one night, you know how we meant to speak tongues out, and I was speaking in my head, because David was like, I thought, well, I can't speak out tongues now, so I was speaking in my head.
So my wife does.
And I was aware that I went to sleep, and then, you know when you come to it in your sleep in the night, that my spirit man was still speaking in tongues. And I just thought, it's only happened to me the once, but I thought maybe that's another dimension to practice, you know what I mean, going to sleep. And I don't know how it works or what it's, you know, but because I know you're meant to speak out tongues, aren't you?
I started speaking in tongues, and I mentioned it to my minister, and he said, I feel that's dangerous because the enemy can counterfeit tongues. I thought, well, I don't know, I've been given a gift. Now, I used to drive home from Wellington each night, and in the car alone, I would speak in tongues from the start to the finish. And I was speaking one day, and I heard an Indian deity come out three times in my tongue. And I thought, hello, this is what my minister was talking about. This is counterfeit. And it disturbed me. So I went to see a minister that I trust very much indeed, not my minister, but another one. And I said to him, I'm having a hassle because I've been told that the enemy can counterfeit tongues, and I found this Indian deity coming out in my tongue, and I'm wondering whether I've got it wrong. So he said, oh, right, Harry said, you speak in tongues? I said, yes. He said, okay, speak in tongues. He said, stop. So I stopped, and he said, no, you've got a genuine tongue. He said, if it's a counterfeit from the enemy, you can't control it, and it will go on. And we had this in our fellowship, because somebody spoke in tongues, and it went on and on, and the minister said, now, this has to stop. And she couldn't stop. In the end, she had to be escorted out. So I saw it in real life, you know. And it was, I found it was the most encouraging for me to have a test that you can apply to tongues to see whether you've got the genuine article. The Holy Spirit does not allow himself to dominate you.
No.
In that kind of way, you are in control.
So how did you know it was an Indian deity?
Oh, it was Vishnu or something like that. It was Vishnu.
A name
I recognise as being idolatrous or from the enemy.
You think you might have been in a warfare, tongue-like, and been, you know, praying in the spirit against it?
Well, this is what my minister friend said to me.
Yeah.
He said, you've got to realise that you could be in battle with that spirit. But he said, don't be perturbed by it. Your tongue is genuine, so go for it. So I found that very encouraging.
Yeah.
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 There is a tower to see, isn't there? Because when we were dealing with the famous, they told us that they ever...
Come.
Yeah, like Africa and things, something like, you know, those sort of great... Well, Russell and I see it as a demonic thing, that sort of great with your spirit.
You need to test us all.
Well, if you have a test, if you're worried about it, stop. If the enemy's having a
afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris. So there's been times when I've been in church and we're praying, and rather than upset somebody in the church, I see the tongue silently. And even when I've been praying for healing for somebody and there's others gathered around who I know might think it's weird, me going into tongues, so I just pray in silence. But the words are clear in my head, but they're not coming out clear, you know.
Mm.
And I'm sure God's listening to what I'm saying in my head. You know?
We know that we're talking.
So rather than offend people who think it's maybe a bit too far, then I just keep it to myself.
Just a prayer, because of word, and it's important you're talking about this tonight, that's what I mean, because the gift of tongues is so significant because it takes the control away from your head.
Mm.
It puts the mind to one side and allows the spirit to move. And until we get that and the need to do that, we're not going to progress, and you find that a lot of the fights over am I speaking in tongues or not speaking in tongues is all head stuff, and a lot of the breaking out into tongues, what's happening in the spirit is that head knowledge, that head control, not really all being broken, and until we can flow freely in tongues, to me it's just, I just imagine I put I hear my 15 kg in a satchel, close the satchel, and away I go. You know, we speak a whole range of tongues. I mean, there's just a whole range of different languages. And I speak, I often sing in tongues. I sing the Little Green Valley, I sing in tongues for that. And I sing, shall we come around the mountain? I sing tongues for that when I'm just singing. In deliverance, I've got a specific deliverance tongue that takes over, that's just quite absolutely specific.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one night I was speaking around at Adam's place, and we were speaking in tongues and we were practicing in tongues, and this guy came up afterwards and he said, you are speaking the Maori of my grandmother. Oh, I said, oh, is that right? He said, yes, absolute word. And we had a relationship for about 2 years, and working through into the prophetic as a result of that. And it was just a hook, and it was just for the gift, and it was as much for him as for me. So you're putting your, you know, it's really important to realise we're putting our mind aside, and we're allowing this, as you said before, we're allowing our spirit to move and flow in the spirit and to watch what happens.
Has anyone else here had been told that when you've been speaking in tongues that someone could understand the language?
I know of a case.
I know of a case.
It wasn't me personally.
Consciously. And here he's had 19 different times where he's been preaching, felt the urge to speak in tongues, and he started off in a different language, and he didn't know he was speaking German or Spanish.
On the radio.
Yeah.
We were praying with a guy who
really heavy. He was a very intellectual guy. And he started to pray in tongues, and he started knowing that this isn't right. But the Lord gave us a word that it was from the old Thessalonical language that he was speaking in.
Oh, what?
Thessalonian language that he was speaking.
Thessalonica.
Yeah. And that broke him because he was really studying the books of
Thessalonians
at that stage. And so it was, and he came to recognize that, hey, it was just for him, that special word. So he's carried on in tongues.
It's a pendo missing,
isn't it? No, yeah.
God is here. Yeah. I'm saving it for you, Rodney. Oh. I just want to be able to interpret the invisible retreat. Are you going to say something?
I don't want to spoil the book at all, but one really big thing that hit me, what Dave was saying, is when we are speaking in tongues and edifying ourselves, it's the Holy Spirit, so it's God the Spirit praying to God the Father, and because it's like a God prayer to a God prayer, it has to be answered, and He is praying the prayers on our behalf that He knows we need to pray for ourselves that we don't know in our minds. And that the more time we spend in speaking in tongues for personal edification, it's allowing the Holy Spirit to deal with the big issues in our hearts, and that will change ourselves with big issues in our lives. But if you're facing an issue like maybe a sin or something that you know, just keep hammering and just keep praying and praying in tongues, and the Holy Spirit will do the work. That just blew my mind. It really did, because to get hold of the fact that the Holy Spirit will use tongues to really get to the deep issues in your heart and start changing in places and areas that perhaps couldn't be done without it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Start feeling that to the sickness that should be able to, you know, with healing in our bodies. Because God, if we're praying the will of God, and you know, it should be for healing as well. So it hit me when I read that part again. I'm going to hear that.
Just as you were talking, then, Lisa, these words came to me. You know, the scripture talks about breaking up the fallow ground?
Yeah.
That's what tongues does in our lives.
Yeah.
It breaks up the fallow ground and allows God to get into parts of our lives that intellectually we got no answers for.
Yeah. We don't even know that.
No, we don't even know that, because, you know, what, how God sees us and how we see us are two totally different people.
Thank God.
I've got quite an exciting story to share from years back, where when I was in a church down in Mana, we had a visiting speaker from America, and he moved in very high places as a man of God, and he used to go and talk to people like Gorbachev and things, and we thought, wow, you know, but he's a very humble man, and to be honest with you, when you listened to him, it was like sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was very word-based. Anyway, he told us of a time where he was in an airport, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, I want you to go and speak to that man over there. And he obviously said to God, well, for a start, it looks as though I don't know his language, and they didn't even know the guy. The Holy Spirit said, I want you to talk to him. And he went over to him and began to speak, and out of his mouth came this language, and this guy looked at him and responded to him in the language, and they had this conversation, and it was just amazing to this man that God had given him a tongue he never knew, for the man that needed to know in his own language what God had to say to him. I can't remember if he translated it. I would like to say it was perhaps a salvation thing, but I don't know. But what the thing that came through to me was we need to be willing to open our mouth and let God. It was just amazing. This guy was absolutely blown away.
Very impacting.
Yeah.
I was in Fiji. We had a friend who lived in Wellington, and he always used to say to us that he had this sense that his tongues were connected to the Fijian language. And I was over in Fiji when he went over there to be able to put this lifelong dream to a test. And I was in the meeting when he stood up and he started speaking in tongues, And down the back of the meeting, four old Fijian ladies burst into tears and start crying. I mean, it immediately creates a presence in that, and as he talked, they cried. And so when he'd finished, I just said to them, well, why are you crying? And they said, this man, hi Greg, this man is speaking a very old Fijian dialect that only us old people know. And so we said, well, what was he saying? And they said he was giving thanks to God. He was magnifying God in that language. And it was to be there and to witness that was just something quite awesome, really, because this guy, he always sensed it, but he had no way of testing it until he went to Fiji and put it to the test, and what he had been sensing all his life, it was true. So, I think that we need to expect to have more of those kind of experiences. We're talking about tongues here, and interpretation of tongues and so on. So,
the thing that I heard was of a young woman who was strong in the Christian faith. She was travelling down by bus from Newtown to Wellington, and she was reading her Bible and speaking in tongues at the same time. And she suddenly came through in Taranaki Street to go, oh, I've got this Indian guy sitting next to me, and I should have been witnessing to him. So she turned to him and said, do you know Jesus? And he said, you've been telling me about him ever since Newtown.
That's wonderful. Because you see, the Holy Spirit knows what's in the heart of people. We've just got to trust Him, eh? I mean, it's kind of like abandoning everything you know and you've been taught to trust the Holy Spirit in a way that other people think that you're crackers. But when you do, you know, God can do something through that. And I think I've told this story here, but that was a tongues and interpretation thing one morning. This was when I was pastoring in Palmerston North. There was this couple came into the meeting. Nobody knew them. And during the course of the meeting, there's a tongues message, there's interpretation. This couple just burst into tears and sobbed their hearts out. And, you know, you always want to know the reason why, because I hate to think it's my preaching so bad. And this is the story they told. They said, we have got major decisions to make in our lives. So we're actually from Masterton, which is 75 miles away from Palmerston North. We got up this morning, we're crying out to God, we need answers. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to get in your car and drive to Palmerston North, and I will go to a church, I'll speak to you there. Now that's a test, because most of us have got the attitude, God knows where I live, if He wants to say something, He can. But He's testing our obedience. So they get in the car, they didn't know any churches in Palmerston North. They get in the car, now they're driving by faith, they come over to Palmerston North, they're driving around the city and they see our church, stop and come in. We were the first church that they found there. They came in, they're sitting in that meeting, and here comes this tongues and interpretation of tongues that most likely they heard a totally different message to everyone else in that meeting. But what they got in that tongues and interpretation of tongues was the exact answer that they'd been crying out for God for, and they went back to Masterton as happy as anything because they'd heard from God. You see. And these are some of the mysteries and wonders of the scripture, but we see it all the way, you know. I'm amazed when Jesus has Saul on his knees on the ground, he's talking to him, he knows who he is. He says, go into Damascus and one of my servants will tell you what to do. Why didn't God tell him what to do? He had him where very few people get. You know, and that kind of thing happens. Like, you know, Philip in the midst of revival and the Holy Spirit says, come on, get out of here, go down the desert. No, nobody in the desert. And you got to have a, You've got to have a real good relationship with the Lord to be the leader of a revival in a city and to leave town when it's in full swing, to go out into the desert where there's nobody, but out there you find this Ethiopian eunuch that he leads to the Lord, and as a result Ethiopia became a Christian nation for generations. See, but most of us will say, hey, we can't leave the revival, it's good here, God's here, you know. It's about listening to the voice of God and listening to what he says. And in this area of speaking in tongues and that, we need to be, you know, building ourselves more so that when we come into a meeting, we're in tune with the Spirit and we can be available to do whatever he wants us to do. You know, but so often we've got into this mindset, and I mean this is not our fault always, this is the way Christianity has gone, where we come and we sit out there and we pay the guys at the front to do what they should be doing, and we all finish up passive receivers instead of positive believers and being available for God to use us. You see, whereas if we come and we're in the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit can speak to us much more quickly. We've eliminated the weaknesses, the doubts and the questions and all of that because we're coming filled with the Spirit. Amen? Amen. And so on. So, anyone else? Any comments? I'll just while you're thinking about that, I'll give you these 9 benefits of praying in tongues that Len Butner has got here. Number one, and I think this is a good one, speaking in tongues is an assurance you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. A lot of people doubt whether they're filled with the Spirit. So I say, do you speak in the Spirit language? No. Well, I said, then you need to press on until you do, because there's just so much for us to experience and to learn through the Spirit language. Number two, he says, tongues will make you strong. He that builds himself, prays in the Holy Spirit, builds himself up in his most holy faith. I tell you, a person that's full of faith is a strong person. 3, tongues make you spiritually sensitive. That's a good one. We need to be sensitive to the spirit realm. And a couple of thoughts here. Sensitivity helps you become aware of spiritual events and occurrences. Helps increase your sensitivity to the workings of the Holy Spirit. Number 4, tongues will build your faith. And that's Jude 20, which I've been quoting tonight. Build yourselves up, praying in the Holy Spirit. Number 5, tongues helps to clean up your mouth. You know, personally, I'm horrified of the numbers of Christians that have foul language. And I experienced it here in New Zealand, I experienced it in Italy, I experienced it in Panama. You know, people, they love the Lord and that, but then they start carrying on a conversation, it's be this and be that and something else. And it just doesn't sit well when it's coming out of the mouths of Christians. So we need to be building ourselves up, you know, so that that's not a negative against us. The tongue is the wildest member of your body. Let's control it by speaking in tongues. Number 6, tongues bring a spiritual refreshing. And it's true. You build out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Not dead, stagnant flood water. You know, dirty water, but so on. Praying in tongues every day keeps you fresh, strong, happy and invigorated. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Or you got to pray about it. Number 7, tongues gives you power to be a witness. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. They will speak with new tongues. Number 8, it's a prayer language. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that's 1 Corinthians 14. And number 9, our infirmities. The Spirit itself makes intercession for us. That's something to think about. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see, and so as we are, often the Holy Spirit is even using us in the spirit language to be praying things that God can do in us, as we were talking about before. Okay, so those are just, anyone else got any comments or thoughts of that, what tongues does for us?
I think, I'm not quite sure if I got that right, but I'll tell you, it's in a book called Beyond the Veil. And it was an orphanage for children that got filled with the Spirit. But they went out to witness, and they had these kids. The first, they had a leader, and the leader stood in the middle of a circle, and all the kids stood around them. The leader prayed in tongues, and then he'd get a prayer, you know, in tongues, and then he'd stop, and then one of the other kids would get the interpretation. And then he'd pray in tongues again, and another person would get the interpretation, and they ended up sort of bringing a whole message. I think that story, but I'm not sure if I've got it quite right, but it was something like that. It was very incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought a whole sort of message with doing it like that.
It's a bit like what you're saying about the puzzle, isn't it? The pieces fit together and make the whole.
Yeah.
Hello. So the other thing that in the book, the guy is saying that as we persist and spend time in tongues, you know, when we're talking about the mystery, that it brings, the Holy Spirit brings greater depth and revelation to you, the reading of the word to you, so you'll be able to read that you have, you know, and all of a sudden it'll hit you. There'll be greater levels of revelation for you as you spend time in tongues, when then you spend time in the word.
Yeah. That was interesting. A week or two back, Phil Sabritsky made the statement that he always seeks to pray at least half an hour in tongues before each of his meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So, because he, you know, he's dealing with his words, 80% of the Christians he prayed for need deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
You were there, that was interesting. So,
yeah,
well
done.
Yeah, but at this point, I have no reason to doubt him, because in my travels around the country, more and more, we are dealing with people who are having visitations, who are having dead relatives or parents visiting them and talking to them through the hours of the night and stuff, and they can't see anything wrong with this. You know, there's some of them are saying, it's wonderful, my mother sat by my bed all night. Is your mother alive? No, she's been dead for 5 years. I said, that's not wonderful. That's a familiar spirit, you know, and impersonating the dead and so on. And it's like there doesn't seem to be a conviction or a discernment between right and wrong in the spirit realm.
Yeah.
And so that's again is why we need to be building ourselves up, praying in the Holy Spirit, because, you know, we don't know when the next person we're going to be dealing with needs to be ministered to, and, you know, and it's not just going to happen because we know a few scriptures. We've got to have the power of God flowing, operating within us so that we can be the answer to these people and so on. So
we were involved in Nova Shalom and leading a group in that some years ago. And in the leader's manual, it said, pray in tongues for 15 minutes. And Sylvia and I shriveled up. We said, you can't pray in tongues for 15 minutes. It's physically impossible. I think we got about 6 minutes and it died. Now, I've got a feeling that the very command to pray to a time limit stopped the flow of the Spirit, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And if we had been able to sort of go, yeah, well, let's just pray in tongues and see how long we go on for, I think it would have gone for a couple of hours. But because we had a 15-minute time limit, we couldn't get to 15 minutes. It was a strange sensation.
Are you saved?
I think so.
Believers. The one about the mother sitting by the bed was a worship leader in the Baptist church.
What do you do in a situation?
You just point out to them that that's not right.
Do they have to command it away though?
Well, we lead them through a prayer of renunciation. They've got to be willing for it to happen. You can't violate a person's will. And God won't either. People have got to want to be free. But the thing is that it's just sheer ignorance. And
it works on that emotional attachment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's conveyed in commercial TV now, right in their very home, isn't it? The guy that's going to sit in the World Cup and watch the halfway mark at the opening game and all that sort of stuff.
The thing that I think concerns me is that there should not be this ignorance amongst Christian believers, you know, which makes you really ask the question, what on earth are people being taught?
Well, that's what I was going to bring up, because really, you need to point them to the word where it says. You really must not consult with the dead.
Because, you know, if we don't basically know the principles of this book, what basis have we got to be able to recognize the voice of God, to be able to know right from wrong? If there is no basis for, you know, discerning and dividing the word of truth in that, if you don't know that, you see, and then you're just open for anything.
Well, I've heard a real bizarre one, Rodney.
Yeah.
So this guy, like, he's, you know, predominantly travels throughout America and been to heaven.
Quite tragically, there's actually a teaching going around now that justifies it, because of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when Moses and Elijah appeared. That's what they used to justify it. You know, just how subtly you can misinterpret things and so on.
Could you explain how that justifies it? What do you mean?
Well, because Moses and Elijah, both of them were dead, and they turned up there on the Mount of Transfiguration talking to Jesus.
Yeah.
So that, and you know, and of course Saul, when he went to that witch and she dug up Samuel, and he gave him words which were very true, you know, and told Saul he'd be with him this time tomorrow kind of thing, and he was.
Yeah.
And so on, and of course that's the deceiving part. If there was nothing right about these things, no one would believe them. They do get information right and stuff, and that's why we have got to be able to discern the spirit of it. I mean, you know, I mean, even that, well, we like to watch that Deal or No Deal, then Joe comes out tonight, the host, you know, with the newspaper, and he's reading about your destiny by the stars, and all that stuff that the world sees as fun, but it subtly gets its hooks into the spirit of people and just binds their lives up so they can't function properly and so on. So again, we need all the things that God's provided for us, and we need to be clear about this. Tongues is not our idea, it's God's idea. Prophesied in the book of Isaiah, fulfilled through here in the New Testament church, it's part of the way of New Covenant Christianity. You were going to...
Yeah, just going back to some of these things. When I first met Mark, he used to go to, Mark was in the Baptist church, and he used to go to this meeting, and when I got to know him, I went along with him, and this was
this is the thing, I'll come a bit further than this now as we've been more vocal, but in the house they've been to the missionary, you know, and all around the place they've all these, from the missionary, the faces and the beers and all this. And poor Mark, I got stuck in them and said, hey Mark, he said, then you didn't know yourself, you didn't know about that all those years. And I said, Mark, you need to tell them that the woman, actually both dead now, they both died in the car crash, one after the other, and went to their funeral not too long ago. And and I said, well Mark, but I couldn't do it. And I kept saying, Mark, you've just got to go and tell them. And Mark said, well, I don't know what, you know, what it's all about. But God did anyway, God did eventually, as I kept going, I thought maybe I'll get to know them, be able to tell them, get rid of them, through them. Anyway, that was okay, but God did use somebody else, but the woman was sick, a mystery, and this is something else we have got to be clear of, what we have in our houses, and I have been into Christian houses, and I've seen these idol things again, I still repent at this particular time in this one, so I said, well, do I go and tell this person or not? I never did, but we have to be so careful what we've got in our house. So this woman continually sick, the doctors could not find what was wrong with her. But eventually, this friend of ours, she was very bold and told them, and it was hard because these things were precious, you know, from the islands and all. Anyway, she said, burn them, and they burnt them all.
Yeah,
so that's something. Yeah, but a lot of Christians, or those at the back, just over the years, Mark and I've realised that there's so much of great St. Christians, and there's just no discernment.
These things even through and don't...
Yeah.
Is that
what the Bible speaks of as devoted things?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 We don't want to get off track on this, because that's a whole night on
own. Yeah,
what's
that?
Now, more of a question about that.
Yeah.
I was quite intrigued, you know, when rightly pointed out that in Acts where it says, you know, people responded to the apostles speaking in tongues, and they said, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in their own tongues, the wonderful works of God. It's Acts 2:13. And as you said, Joel called this prophecy, Peter called it prophecy, because Peter said, when he explained what was happening, he said, it should come to pass in the last days, said God, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So my question was, when they were speaking the wonderful works of God in tongues, that was a type of prophecy.
Yeah, well, that's the crossover thing again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, how can I describe this? If you get a word of knowledge for healing somebody, then for that word of knowledge to work through to a healing, often there's a word of wisdom involved. There's often discerning of spirits involved. There's a gift of faith involved.
Yeah.
There's your word of knowledge, and then there's your gifts of healing, and it may also include a miracle. In other words, up to 6 of the 9 gifts can all be flowing in the actual outworking of, say, one simple word of knowledge to do with healing somebody.
Right.
But yet, they're all distinctly different, but they can also work together like hand and glove.
Right.
That's why I say, when you have a word of knowledge, you need a word of wisdom to know what to do with what you know.
Mm.
You see, and that also includes discerning, because discerning of spirits often gives you not only the spirit that motivates the person you're ministering to, whether it's a good, bad, unforgiving, hateful, spiteful, whatever, those are spiritual things, you need that also to get the timing of delivery right.
Mm.
So many times we can have the right word for the right person, but we've got the timing wrong. And while there may be certain results from that, it doesn't have the impact than if we're able to get the timing right for some of those things. You know, I'm talking in a meeting. Now, this is a classic. When you're ministering in a meeting, you're in a privileged position where you can actually see people. Everybody's usually sitting looking at the backs of the heads of people in front of you. And you can get a word of knowledge with someone in the meeting and you go to give it, but you know that person, they might be physically in the meeting, but they're not in the meeting spiritually. They're somewhere else. And it's written all over them, you know. They're still at work, or something's happened at home, or they're worrying about something. And there's just no faith in them at that point to be able to receive the word that God's given you for them. So then you have to, like Paul in Acts 14, you know, he preached until that crippled guy, he saw that, he perceived that he had faith to be healed. He said, right, get up and make your bed. You see, and so Paul in the Spirit actually, as he was preaching, was building this guy's faith level up to a point where he knew that he could speak that word and the guy would respond. You see, so it's not just a matter of I've got a word, it's a matter of getting the right word. And that's what I like about what I shared before about that guy just got a name. Now, you see, that's God trying to teach us something. He gave that to a person that he knew would respond, but he didn't know why he responded. You know, that was up at Hara. It was really quite something, wasn't it? And, you know, but that then activated other people to respond and to do things that proved to be a great blessing to the person on the receiving end. And so, you know, this about being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and all the time we can just be quietly speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, just building ourselves and saying, Holy Spirit, what are you wanting me to do? What's the answer here? There's got to be a key to unlock this person, and so on. And so the speaking in tongues and that helps to give you a sensitivity so that when you're stepping out, you're also releasing other gifts. So that really one has challenged me, because the Bible...
It's God speaking.
Yes, it was the initial outpouring of tongues on the New Testament church. The people understood what those tongues languages were, and yet Peter said this is the fulfillment of, and it was prophecy, of Joel, and it's prophecy.
Mm. And you see? Drunk.
And they were, well, we...
Drunk.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, folks, that's one of the outworkings of the Spirit. You get inebriated at times.
So when they heard them speak the wonderful words of God, you think it was... You know, God, you're great, you're creative, you're saving, you're mighty. Or do you think of almost like preaching, you know, God has come in the form of Jesus to save you?
Well, it most likely was a combination of all, like Harry said before about that lady sitting on the bus, speaking in tongues, and the Indian guy said, you've been telling me about Jesus all the way. She didn't know she was doing that.
Right, yes.
You see, and a lot of, I mean, let's face it, we Christians never know what we're doing.
Speaking in tongues, just speaking in mysteries to God.
Yes.
But it can also be about God.
Yes.
That we can.
Absolutely.
They did a cheap stuff in Hamilton in the meetings like this. The plan, he got someone to come and give a message in tongues out the front, and then he'd ask different ones what they thought the interpretation was. And some, you know, it was quite amazing the different interpretations that people got of that tongue. And some of them were completely different. Sometimes it felt like that God was calling it. And then another interpretation of that would be, you know, they were glorifying God. So I think sometimes it can be, God can do miracles
and
people
hear
things different
to
what
others hear. Why don't we do it? Come on, right now, let's just ask the Holy Spirit. You can feel free to speak in your tongue, because we're all believers here, but let's just have a listen and let someone come forth with a tongues message. Ask the Holy Spirit to give us a tongues message so others can interpret it. And I think that there can be more than one interpretation to a tongues message. So let's see. We want the Holy Spirit. to be glorified in our lives. So Holy Spirit, we just open ourselves to you right now. You've heard all of our conversations about tongues and interpretation of tongues, speaking in tongues. Now we just want to glorify you, Father, through this language of the Spirit you've given to us. Hallelujah. We just bless you and praise you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You've got a tongue's message to bring out loud now, just let it come. And we've got an interpretation for that. Thank you, Jesus.
I see stars on the sky, shining.
See what in the sky, stars?
Yeah.
I just really sense the joy in my spirit as you were speaking that reason. With joy you'll draw waters out of the well of salvation and so on. But someone else may have an interpretation.
I sort of felt God was really pleased with what's been happening tonight. I felt he was sort of saying through Lisa that I'm really, really pleased with what you're discussing tonight. Because it's these deep things that are going to take it to higher levels. Mm-hmm. I felt that was the sort of message that was coming.
Yeah. Anyone else feel something that might? Thank you, Jesus.
And even through speaking in tongues, that we can have a deeper relationship of love with you. That speaking in tongues can take us into a more intimate place of love with the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. You're happy with that, Lisa?
Yeah.
You feel comfortable with that? Because often the person bringing the tongues is feeling something.
Joy, I felt real joy.
Yeah. Good. There's someone else now. Just bring a tongue message. Thank you, Jesus.
Sandabon Siki Hamba was Si. Yambaba Karamba Sik Momo Barandu Su. Yakova Si Dabasulam Barambai. Yakambo Samboria Sik Momo Su.
Just bring forth an interpretation. Don't be shy.
I just saw an apple with lots of seeds.
I'm gathering a people unto myself. I'm gathering them together as a hen gathers a chicken under her wings. I'm gathering them together because to protect them from the world and to protect them from those around them. I am gathering them together and teaching them the truth and giving them the tools to withstand the onslaught of the enemy in the days to come.
I got the word Africa.
Keep going.
I actually felt it was that God was saying that I'm building a team for Africa.
But I've already got 40 on it. How many more do we need?
Interesting. Well, I don't know if this is an example of getting something quite different. I felt there was something about the Spirit that he was saying, his Spirit is as sharp as steel and as bright as silver, and it's a weapon in our hand as much as it's a crazed thing. I felt there was something about brightness and shining and steel in that. So there you go.
Well, I got that it was like God scattering us more and more into his throne room to reveal more of himself to us, so that we would know and understand his plans and purposes more than we've ever done before, that we are in a situation where we've got to have divine revelation. We really do, and that's what the Holy Spirit, his job is, come to reveal Jesus to us, to bring to our remembrance the things of God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. May we all desire to be in your throne room more and more. Hallelujah. May we all, Lord, be open to receive more and more revelation of Jesus for this hour. Oh, God, each one of us want to be effective. We want to be fruitful. We want to be overcoming Christians, Lord. We want to be part of the answer in this hour, not part of the problem. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we pray you reveal more about Africa and about the team for Africa. For Lord, this is a day of opportunity in that continent, and we just pray, Lord, speak to us. And God, I pray that you will have the right people on that team, and the wrong people, something will happen where they'll have to drop off. That they will be, Lord. I get the word, God's commandos. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I just felt when Jim was given it just a boldness and courage.
What did you feel, Jim?
I felt that it was more Godward, you know. It was like a praise and to God, and that it was, you know, like, he's just so big, and we just can't comprehend his ways. It's just so different to what we had to think. Something like that.
Yeah. You got that?
Yeah. It was almost like, you know, when Luke was speaking, it was like it was a joy. And that was an extension of joy.
For what it's worth, I think it was you crying out to God, and he's going to give you a boldness that you've never had before. Instead of holding up his arms all the time, you're going to be standing side by side, and you're going to be preaching, and he's going to give you this boldness.
Will I be safe?
Anything else?
Who else witnesses to that?
I definitely witnessed the boldness and the courage. I definitely got boldness and courage, is what I felt. But
there might be just maybe for ladies, I don't know. I'm not putting any blocks on it. Like, he's not telling me to put any blocks on it, but it might be just a woman's ministry that you'd be more apt to. I don't know. But he knows that he's telling me to step forward. grab it with two hands and go for it.
Hi. Yesterday you used the word commando army. Do you remember once I came in and I said to you, there's a message I get in from God? He was raising you up in the commando army, you and Jean. He came that day with something and I said to you, he said, you better come inside. And I said, where are you? Commando. Really, you said it like
this. I needed to be reminded of it tonight.
Yes.
Good. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord.